Don't be a witch. Get off your broom for Rocktoberfest at the Rock Shop on Godfredsen. Check out the spooktacular savings. Get the chills out of your bones with a new fire pit. All on sale now at gravelly costs. Patios, retaining walls, flagstones, and ponds to keep all of your monsters happy. The leaves are falling and so are the prices. Now get 50% off fountains, statuary, pots, and benches to transform your yard from ordinary to extraordinary. Don't forget about your boys and ghouls. Select from the Rockhound Room crystals, gems, minerals, and fossils for their collective cauldrons. Just like the leaves, these deals won't last long. The Rock Shop on Godfredson. Call 734-455-5560 or check them out on the web, rock-shop.com.
Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Stand up for. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Good Sunday morning and welcome to The Drift. This is Joe Vollmer filling in for Gary Wellings, who's on vacation with his beautiful and intelligent wife, Julia. Always a pleasure to talk to both of them, and I suspect we'll be hearing from Gary during the show today. The Drift is a show for conservatives who long for a country that makes decisions based on common sense, and what we strive to do here is bring the facts to you so that you can make informed decisions daily and, most importantly, I would say, in the upcoming election, where it's very important that we take this country back and not go in a socialist direction. Looking forward to your calls today. The call-in number is 734-822-1600. And also, of course, you can always go on to The Current Online, that's courantonline.com, and click on the Daily Drift, where Gary does a fabulous job of keeping up on all the events or all the topics, whether they be local, state level, federal level. You know, it's a great resource to go and find all of the things that maybe the mainstream media isn't catching, or if they are catching them, they're catching them with a really liberal slant. And so you can go there if you really want to get the facts. Now, the first half hour of the show here today is brought to you by the Rock Shop in Plymouth. Spending money on hardscape for your home or business isn't an expense, it's an investment. And we've all learned that you need to invest with experience. At the Rock Shop, you don't just get some of the finest and natural and manufactured pavers, a great selection of unique statuary, fountains, wall and patio material. You get over 30 years of experience from Marco, Helena, and the highly trained staff there. Now, I want to stress that when you go to the store and buy materials, isn't it great when you actually meet with someone who knows what they're talking about, whether it be the hardware store or wherever? Well, that's exactly what you get at the Rock Shop. You get the peace of mind of knowing you're being sold the right materials for your application, and you can get firsthand instruction on how to install it properly. So in other words, they're just not dumping stuff in your car. They're telling you exactly what you need to do. So if hardscape is an investment in your home or business that you need, you should invest with the best. Invest with the Rock Shop, located just north of M14 at 6275 Godfredson Road in Plymouth. For more information, call Marco at 734-455-5560, or go to www.rockshop.com. And let me emphasize the spelling here. It's rock-shop, S-H-O-P-P-E.com. And, you know, another thing on that, I was working out in the yard actually this Friday, and it's a great time actually to jump on that because It's not so hot out right now. It's a great time to throw on the flannel shirt and get that kind of job done so you don't have to wait till the springtime. We've got a great show planned for you today. We're going to talk on a couple topics, including the University of Michigan, the fallout from what happened in Libya with the assassination of the ambassador. And we're also going to speak the second half hour today with Richard Kupka, who's the commercial vehicle sustainability lead at Ford Motor Company. So I'm sure everyone, most of the listeners here, since this is an Ann Arbor-based station, are pleased this morning about the outcome of yesterday's game with the University of Michigan beating Michigan State in the big annual rival for the Paul Bunyan Trophy. The drought is over, and I'm not speaking of the rain drought in our plain states, but the windless drought that we've been having in Ann Arbor versus Michigan State University. So Michigan with a big field goal there to win in the last 5 seconds of the game. Michigan kicker goes 4 for 4 with field goals, which I can tell you hasn't happened in a long, long time. But credit to Michigan State Spartans. They came to play. Las Vegas was wrong, predicting a big Michigan win. A lot of people were predicting a landslide yesterday. But as rivalry games go, Michigan State came to play, and we had a real classic there. So let's turn to the subject of Libya. Now, as I'm sure everyone feels the same as I do, when you have a case with an ambassador being assassinated in a foreign country like Libya, you know, it really hits home. This is a family man, lost his life, his all-too-small security team, several losses there as well, and it's really unacceptable. And then you look at it and you say, well, hey, wait a second. Weren't we just in a somewhat of a mini war in Libya? And how is it even possible that terrorists were able to come into that facility and assassinate our ambassador? You know, it almost gives the appearance of, you know, that we had rented a Holiday Inn Express room and put a couple guards at the door. It does not look like the kind of security that we should have had in place, you know, in that region of the world. So it's been interesting. We got a track here about from Joe Biden during the presidential debate saying that he did not even know that more security is wanted. Derek, can you roll that?
They wanted more security there.
Well, we weren't told they wanted more security again. We did not know they wanted more security again. And by the way, at the time, we were told exactly, we said exactly what the intelligence community told us.
You know, I guess, you know, when you're in the presidential or the vice presidential debate, which really doesn't seem to have an impact on the polls much anyhow, but I hope that it does, and I hope that the people see through the fact that this is an overt lie, because what we've got now is information much to the contrary. And Derek, could you play track number 3 here, where the State Department has denied, where actually the State Department denied security help request?
An explosive email from the State Department that reveals that extra security requested by American diplomats in Libya before last month's deadly attack were denied. The email informs diplomats and their security team in Benghazi and Tripoli, including Ambassador Stevens, who was just killed, that their extra security for help in flying personnel and equipment around that country was rejected.
Now, you know, once again, we have completely opposite stories. You know, a vice president of the United States, which I think I should nickname him the Chuckler, because what he seems to want to do is when the Republican Party is giving their opinions and their facts, he seems to sit back and think the thing to do is to sit back and chuckle and mock the facts that are being put forward by Paul Ryan. It's completely disrespectful, and you know, frankly, I think even if you have a liberal slant, you have to look at that and say, this is not how our White House should be representing itself. So, you know, I don't know what the outcome will be from this. I'm sure Hillary Clinton, as the Secretary of State, will be thrown under the bus by Obama, but really she won't be. She'll take a fall, probably to some point, but is he going to fire her? I don't believe so, but I don't think there's any chance of that, actually. But that's probably what should really happen to hold her accountable for what's happened to this man's life. So look forward to any phone calls on that subject. You can call in again on 734-822-1600, and we look forward to hearing from you on that. Then we will be coming back here in a little bit to discuss the University of Michigan.
Listeners, I'm Edwin Hoffman, host of Speaking of Art. Every Sunday at 5 p.m., we explore the world of art and antiques, commercially, academically, and from the perspective of the collector. Speaking of Art features renowned guests as our guides as we visit great museums, galleries, theaters, and historic sites. We'll examine paintings, prints, sculpture, and drawings. You'll hear from the artists and their patrons, and you'll gain a special insight into both contemporary and historical periods. We'll travel through monuments of world architecture and experience the evolution of design. Achievements in film, music, and stage will also grace our forum. Speaking of Art is one of the best conversations of your week. So, nestle into an overstuffed chair and join our room full of connoisseurs every Sunday at 5 on WHAM. Speaking of Art, it's about civilization, yours.
Settle in for a great conversation every Sunday at 5 p.m. Speaking of Art with Ed Hoffman, exclusively on WHAM Talk 1600.
Mom? Dad?
What is it, honey?
Well, you know that Melissa's transferring to a charter school and...
Slow down, Katie.
Private schools are just...
Fact. All charter schools are public schools.
Katie, we just don't have the money to send you...
Fact. Charter schools are tuition-free.
And Melissa said that the kids in the school are really motivated to...
Fact. Charter schools are boosting student achievement.
So can I enroll, please?
The National Alliance for Public Charter Schools wants you to know the facts. Visit www.publiccharters.org.
I'm Dr. Dave Janda, host of Operation Freedom, broadcasting live from WHAM Talk 1600's Freedom Bunker every Sunday from 3 to 5. We are the only operating room in all of radio. Every Sunday in our OR, we dissect current events with the help of guests that Enemedia are afraid to bring to life. Our goal is to educate and empower you. I hope you'll join our OR team every Sunday from 3 to 5 right here at WHAM Talk 1600.
Yeah! My pain used to keep me up all night. I didn't know what to do. I finally told my doctor what was going on, and I'm glad I did. I found out there was a lot I could do to manage my pain. I'm taking yoga now and walking every day. I've even signed up for a water aerobics class. I'm taking care of myself, and you know what? It's working for me.
Learn to manage your pain. Visit the Michigan Department of Licensing and Regulatory Affairs pain management website at michigan.gov/PM.
Theron here, inviting you to join me for the Bone Conduction Music Show. My radio show has a high music IQ, and I know you do too. We're a perfect match, babe, you and me. I want you to join me right here for the finest wig-singing rock, hip-shaking soul music, and industrial strength rhythm and blues. It's the rockin'est show on the radio. It's the Bone Conduction Music Show.
Join Theron for the rockin'est show on the radio. It's the Bone Conduction Music Show. Every Sunday night at 7 p.m., right here on WHAM Talk 1600.
You're listening to The Drift on WHAM Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
Welcome back to The Drift. This is Joe Vollmer sitting in for Gary Wellings today. But believe it or not, we've got a special caller on the line. You may recognize the polished voice of Gary Wellings here. Hello, Gary.
Morning, Joe. How are you?
Oh, very good. It's an early Sunday, as you can imagine.
Oh, it's early every Sunday. It's a great time, though. Down in Daytona Beach, I wanted to get over to see Romney and Ryan, but we didn't get a chance to get that close. So, But the weather down here is wonderful. How was it back home? A little cold for you?
Yeah, a little bit, you know. But like I said earlier, a good time to do some paving in your yard and go to see the rock shop. So
Yeah, that's exactly right. Marco and Elena do a great job. And they do all that for free, mind you. They teach you for free how to install your stuff. And right now, 50% off on their statuaries and fountain stuff. So a lot of stuff is almost 50% off. So great time to go see them. But I'm glad you filled in today and are hitting that Libya issue because, you know, with the big debate tomorrow night, this is going to be on Obama to try and prove that he's the one who has a foreign policy. And you and I both know that it's a flop, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. He's for the one or two things that he may have done right, it seems like he's done 50 things wrong. And we need a president with a better batting average than that.
Yeah, I mean, he's either got the worst luck of any president we've ever had when it comes to foreign policy, or maybe there's a secret agenda we don't know. I mean, it's another conspiracy someday for me, I guess. But, you know, this whole Libya fiasco, I know you've been playing the track. You know, there's two questions there. Number one, why weren't you paying attention to what the people on the ground were saying? Now, you can blame Hillary if you want, but the buck always stops with the president.
Absolutely.
And so who was not listening? Now, there is talk that on Obama's own calendar, he wasn't attending his own intel briefings, which are held daily. Now, the White House spun that and said, well, he gets his stuff off the iPad. Excuse me. But when you are the president of the United States and you have access to the most brilliant minds at an intel session, why would you skip that? The American people need to ask themselves, what is he doing in the mornings besides looking for our safety first and foremost? This man should be up every morning, maybe even earlier, maybe in the middle of the night, knowing what's going on and getting this intel, and yet he doesn't go to the briefings with America's most intelligent and updated people. It's incredible to me.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, when you have to have the president gets pulled in a lot of directions, and he can have a lot of excuses. You know, I mean, I'm sure the broccoli farmers of America want to meet with him every day, and who knows how many interests want some of the president's time. But he's got to prioritize and say, the first thing I'm going to do every day is make sure that America's safe and that, you know, our ambassadors that are overseas in countries that we were recently engaged in a war within are safe and that they're not being, housed in a Holiday Inn Express with a small security team standing around. It's not acceptable.
Yeah, they compromised Ambassador Chris Stevens, and what people, we must not forget, our team of four there, the ambassador and Sean Smith and the others, they were brutally murdered. This wasn't just, you know, an accidental explosion or a rocket. They were literally murdered by savages who were looking to get revenge not only for 9/11 and because of the anniversary of 9/11, they were looking for revenge for all the drone strikes that we've done. Now, you can credit Obama with doing the drone strikes, but back it up by protecting our people. And when the State Department officials and the security personnel on the ground say they asked for more help and didn't get it, somebody needs to explain why. And Obama has not done that. Let's hope Romney tomorrow night asks that. You know, he owes us an explanation, Mr. Obama does, for what he has done. And it boggles my mind. I know you'll go through and play some of those other tracks to prove that point, but I wanted to make one other point. And we talked about it. If you go to the Drift, the Daily Drift, currentonline.com, click on the Daily Drift. We started breaking this. It's breaking news this morning in the New York Times. But the October surprise we've all been waiting for Obama to do. Now, Reza Khalili is a expatriate Iranian. That's not his real name, but he now sits on national defense boards. has been saying that there have been a group or team from the Obama administration working behind the scenes to come up with an Iranian deal to stop enriching their uranium just before the election, which is within the next 2 weeks. And you watch, there's going to be an announcement from the Obama team on this. And what will happen is they're going to try and play it up like, look at my foreign policy, it's working. Well, no, number one, it won't be working because it's a ruse. The Iranians will do the same thing that the North Koreans have done for the last 20 years. Oh, yeah, we'll stop. And then they start again. Oh, yeah, we'll stop. And then we'll start again. So we'll probably relieve sanctions on them. And the Iranians want Obama reelected. So they know that Romney is not the kind of guy to fool around with. So this whole thing is just a ruse. So I'm hoping people are aware that this is nonsense that comes down the pipe.
Yeah, clearly. You know, the centrifuges will never stop spinning.
Absolutely not.
You know, and every day that those spin is another day that, could lead to an attack on, initially Israel. And, who knows what the future holds, right, beyond Israel. But, and the Israelis, Netanyahu and the folks in Israel have to, they have to just be absolutely beside themselves of how our president is behaving here in the United States.
Yeah, absolutely. And to be fair, I firmly believe that Iranians have that right to have a nuclear program if they so choose. But the onus is on them to prove to their neighbors, including Israel, that they're not going to use it adversely. And so with great power comes great responsibility. You better find a way to assure Israel and eventually the United States and the rest of the world, that you will not use that nuclear material for bombs. And the first thing you do is stop spouting that you're going to wipe Israel off the map. I have no problem with Israel making a strike against Iran. We should probably be leading the charge on that. But, you can't allow a nuclear-armed Iran, which supports terrorism all over the world, to continue in this manner, and the Obama administration has not taken it seriously. They have not put the forceful sanctions that they need to. We could starve that country to the Stone Age if we wanted to. Put in a blockade if you have to. But it's another failure of the Obama policy, and people need to understand that this is not a game. This is nuclear war we are talking about. When Joe Biden was laughing about it during his debate, I was very angry. It was intolerable that he could be laughing on a subject as serious as this.
Oh, absolutely. It just got me thinking, Gary, while you were talking there, that, is it time to bring back the Ronald Reagan Star Wars defense program? Because, the whole premise, the people said that the Star Wars defense program was bad because it eliminated mutually assured destruction. And if you had a great defense system, you would upset that whole equation. But, the problem with that is we were thinking of the Russians when that was being discussed. And, rational thought no longer applies here when you're dealing with madmen. So, I would be a proponent of bringing back the Star Wars defense program and making sure that the United States and its allies are safe from incoming missiles, because it's just a matter of time. And, furthermore, another thought on that is, it's amazing what America did in the 40s. Before we had these supercomputers and everything else, we had actually made, nuclear weapons. That was over 60 years ago. And you've got countries that in 2012 still can't achieve what we did in the 40s. And it just goes to show you the greatness of America and what we can be and what technologies we're able to develop here if we have the political will to do it.
Yeah, and the key there is the political will. When you have an Obama administration that wants to bring this country down to the level of the third world and Iran, because I have to believe the man hates America. You cannot love America and treat it the way he has treated it during his term in office. And you're exactly right. Why don't we have the Star Wars back online? I mean, the first thing Obama did was stop the missile defense shield being built in Europe. He threw Poland to the wolves. They wanted that missile defense shield across Western Europe there to try and... Part of that was to keep the Iranians from being able to send a missile at Western Europe. And now that's gone. It's opened up. I mean, Aldo appeased the Russians, you know, and he makes fun of Romney for calling the Russians the old Soviets. Well, they are the old Soviets. Nothing has changed. Romney's more right on that than anybody. Putin is a Soviet. He's still a Soviet. He always will be. He is that kind of a man. So you don't try to appease those people. You pull a Reagan act, and you carry a big stick, and you arm for it. And then you can talk peace.
Yep, yep. You got to negotiate from a position of power. There's no doubt.
Exactly. All right, Joe. Well, I can hear the music. I will let you go. Have a great show, and say hi to Dick Tufko when he comes on.
I will, and thanks for calling in, Gary.
Thanks, Joe.
On the move, driving to work, getting the groceries, hauling the kids to soccer. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600, just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham for intelligent conversation with hosts like Bill Bennett, Glenn Beck, and Theron X. They stay tuned in for Fox updates, and they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen McHugh. Former South Dakota Senator George McGovern has died. The World War II bomber pilot, who went on to become a staunch opponent of the war in Vietnam, passed away at a hospice in Sioux Falls, surrounded by family and friends. He was 90. In 1972, he accepted his party's nod for president.
Truth is a habit of integrity, not a strategy of politics. And if we nurture the habit of truth in this campaign, we will continue to be truthful once we are in the White House.
He never made it there, however, losing in a landslide to Richard Nixon. Folks in Central California got a jolt after midnight, a 5.3 magnitude earthquake about 40 miles south of Salinas, and there's likely to be more.
But certainly for the next couple of days, at least, if not longer, the people in the area could expect a series of aftershocks resulting from this.
Geophysicist Amy Vaughn with the U.S. Geological Survey. Fox News, we report, you decide.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
The Brighton Tea Party will meet on Tuesday, October 23rd at the American Spirit Center, 10590 Grand River Avenue in Brighton at 6:30 p.m. They'll host Dr. Matt McCord and a panel of physicians who will explain the Affordable Care Act and how it'll affect the future of health care. Everyone is invited to attend. For more information, visit brightonteaparty.ning.com. Stamps for all levels of collectors will be available at sales tables during the Ann Arbor Stamp Club's 38th Annual Stamp Show, November 3rd and 4th. 28 dealers from 9 U.S. states and the province of Ontario will operate the sales tables. Parking and admission are free. The show will be held in the Morris Lawrence Building at Washtenaw Community College, 4800 East Huron River Drive, just east of Ann Arbor, near the U.S. 23 Expressway, exit at Geddes Road. Hours are from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on November 3rd and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on November 5th. For more information, call 734-761-5859. The Washtenaw Wanderers Walking Club meeting will be Wednesday, November 14th at 7 p.m. at REI Store, 970 West Eisenhower Parkway in Ann Arbor. For more information, visit ava.org or email washtenawwanderer@gmail.com. The Dexter American Legion Auxiliary is hosting their annual craft show, slated for Sunday, November 18th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., located at the Legion Hall, 8225 Dexter Chelsea Road. The craft show will include crafters, a bake sale, a light lunch, and a raffle comprised of items donated by the show's exhibitors. The proceeds from the event will be used to send care packages to area servicemen and women. Please come out and support our troops. For more information, call 734-426-2062.
You've been listening to the Wham Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community@whamradio.com.
Don't be a witch. Get off your broom for Rocktoberfest at the Rock Shop on Godfredson. Check out the spooktacular savings. Get the chills out of your bones with a new fire pit. All on sale now at gravelly costs. Patios, retaining walls, flagstones, and ponds to keep all of your monsters happy. The leaves are falling and so are the prices. Now get 50% off fountains, statuary, pots, and benches to transform
transform your yard from ordinary to extraordinary. Don't forget about your boys and ghouls. Select from the Rockhound Room crystals, gems, minerals, and fossils for their collective cauldrons. Just like the leaves, these deals won't last long. The Rock Shop on Gottfredson. Call 734-455-5560 or check them out on the web, rock-shop.com.
This is the ClarkCast with Matt Clark.
Are you still going to hold his record accountable? Are you still going to hold the previous 4 years accountable? And if you are that Barack Obama supporter that says, you know, he was still getting his feet off, or, yeah, maybe the stimulus wasn't that great, or the Solyndra thing, yeah, that was kind of a mistake, then are you that same Obama supporter that says it's Bush's fault?
Don't miss the ClarkCast, live Sunday afternoons, 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
Welcome back to The Drift. This is your guest host today, Joe Vollmer. I'm the president and CEO of Powertrain Solutions, which is a consultancy specializing in sustainable mobility technologies, which is a perfect lead-in because apparently I have a colleague at Ford Motor Company, Mr. Dick Kupka, who is the commercial vehicles sustainability lead at Ford Motor Company. I might want to add here before Dick joins us that the opinions of Dick are not necessarily those of Ford Motor Company, but his own opinions. And Dick, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, glad to have you. I know for quite some time Gary's wanted to have you on this show, and very fortunate that it's this week while I'm hosting, since this is a topic that's near and dear to me. Dick, maybe you could start off by just kind of explaining what is sustainable mobility.
Well, at Ford, our sustainability strategy, you know, we have a combination of things that we do. But say sustainability, we have products that are designed and utilize recyclable material, use alternate fuels, and we try to manufacture and improve our manufacturing process in a sustainable fashion, using less consumables, less water, things like that. And my personal involvement is that I work with commercial vehicles, which is an area that is usually larger, and vehicles that use more fuel to perform a task, and so they are perfect vehicles to utilize alternate fuels such as compressed natural gas and propane and other things. We also do electrification in hybrids and plug-in hybrids and battery electric vehicles as well. So to us, it's the entire thing surrounding the reduced use of energy, both in the manufacturing and in the daily use of the vehicle.
Well, it sounds to me that you know, the types of fuels that you're talking about here are the types of fuels that we would have here in the United States, and we wouldn't it would reduce the amount of money that we're funneling to our enemies overseas.
Well, we actually, it's interesting because years ago, probably in the mid 90s to mid 2000s, we did build vehicles that were fueled by compressed natural gas, but at that time, the economic advantages of using natural gas versus gasoline or diesel were not there because the equivalent energy costs were about the same. But you know, as fuel prices have gone astronomical over the last few years, there's been increased interest in this, and as I mentioned, especially in a vehicle that may burn more fuel than the fuel efficient smaller cars have. They sip fuel at 37, 42 miles per gallon, but a big, hard-working truck burns more of it. So you're looking at a larger proportion of your operating costs being from fuel costs. Well, yep. When you can do that, and switch to a fuel that, the other thing is, since 2008, the reserves for compressed natural gas, or for natural gas in the country, have risen from what was back then estimated to be approximately 60 years to over 260 years now for the world. And we will be probably by the 30s anticipated to be way up there in the, probably the number two position in compressed natural gas in the world.
Yeah, and, you know, just to have – and the jobs that would bring to convert, you know, a larger percentage of our domestic fuel use, you know, to a domestic source like compressed natural gas means jobs for America.
Well, definitely there'll be people that involved with the oil and gas industry that will bring it out of the ground. Fortunately, in the U.S., there's a large infrastructure in distribution already – at the upper level, let's say, you know, like 60% of the homes in the United States are heated with natural gas. So there is a distribution system all over the country to get natural gas around. What we don't see quite yet is the infrastructure improvements at the retail level. For example, there's only it's a good number. There's about 1,000 natural gas stations around in the country, and there's about 260 under development right now. So the infrastructure improvements that'll go on building fueling stations, the equipment to build fueling stations, all these things, that's jobs, jobs, jobs.
You know, and one of the things I think we need to make clear to the listeners, I think most people, when they read about alternative fuels, they think about, you know, their own personal cars and you know, how they would go about refueling with these alternative fuels. But the segment you're particularly leading, commercial vehicle, is something that centrally fuels. And can you just give us some insight as to, you know, how big that market is and what the advantage is of centralized fueling?
Well, there's a couple of things. And actually, I'm excited because I believe that some of the fueling will reach down to the retail level. There already is, first of all. In the Ann Arbor area here, in Michigan, it's kind of fun as you embrace technology. There's an app for the smartphones called CNG Now, and you can hit it and pull up, and it'll show you the fueling stations around. And in Ann Arbor here, you can fuel at both Meyer 50 Acres, or I don't know if they call them Meyer 50 Acres anymore. I used to, I mean, 30 years ago. But both Meyer stations, the one on Ann Arbor Saline Road and the one on Carpenter, have a DTE energy pump there for compressed natural gas. So it's available to the retail customer. The central fueling, though, if you take a look at a fleet, for example, a fleet of delivery vehicles, a fleet of contractor trucks, you know, whether they're plumbers, electricians, things, working kind of trucks like that go out, heating and cooling, that go out and service a defined area, the natural gas vehicles will typically have 200, if they're a dedicated one, which means they burn only natural gas, they'll have a 225, 250-mile working range easily. And so if you have a defined service area that you can go out, perform your work during the day, and come back and refuel in the evening at our central refueling, then you're well within the capabilities of the vehicle, and you are saving a significant amount of money because... for example, and it varies around the country. There's different pricing strategies of the gas companies. I was in Oklahoma City a couple weeks ago, and the retail pumps to people were charging $1.35 a gallon. Probably 6 months ago, that was a buck. And for these people, even in Michigan here where you're central fueling a fleet, you are likely paying approximately 99 cents per gas gallon equivalent, which means energy-wise, the equivalent of a gallon of gasoline, you're paying about a buck a gallon. And so if you're driving a big, hard-working truck and you're driving hundreds of miles a day in the delivery area or to customers and things like that, you have the potential to be saving 60 to 75% fuel cost right now.
Yeah, and so, you know, if you're a fleet operator, let's say, you know, the local UPS office or the post office, which is obviously the post office is losing a lot of money. So you would think that they would be switching to, you know, a more cost-conscious alternative fuel promptly.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I know the guys at the post office. I've had dealings with them. And across the country, though, remember, I'm not sure, in the listening area here, we have both urban and suburban and also rural. And so I live out in the country. I live out in Saline. And, you know, we everywhere you go, it's a couple of miles from anywhere. And so we think more in terms of longer mileage. But nationwide, the post office averages 16 miles a day on their vehicles. So the fuel cost for the post office is actually a very small percentage of their overall operating cost. It tends to be more the other cost of the vehicle, like maintenance, purchase cost, parts, things like that.
Okay, so but if you take a let's take a case where you know, maybe give me another example and what the payback period would be for someone who wants to invest.
I'll give you an example. There are, and we make, and again, I'm not speaking for Ford, but that's where my experience lies. We make trucks anywhere from the small Transit Connects, like you see now for a lot of delivery vehicles and stuff. They're kind of like minivan-sized vehicles, up through the big medium trucks, F-650s and 750s. And you might think of an F-650 as when you see, for people who don't know how vehicles are rated, big dump trucks, municipalities have them, Ann Arbor has them, they use them for you know, dump trucks pulling wood shredders, you know, for tree maintenance and things, big companies with the aerial booms like Detroit Energy fixing power lines and things. Those vehicles get... because they weigh up to 33,000 pounds, they get in the range of 6 to 8 miles per gallon. So, and because they're carrying so much weight, and if a vehicle were to be used approximately 30,000 miles per year for one of those large vehicles using that kind of amount of fuel, at the current prices that we see out there, the payback period for a gaseous fueled vehicle versus gasoline is about 1.5 years. So after that 1.5 year period, you've paid for any of the additional materials and equipment that are on the vehicle, and from that point, it's all gravy. On the other end, let's say on a smaller vehicle like a E-Series van, a Econoline, you know, a contract or so, it's about 2.5 years.
So, you know, the decision of a municipality or a fleet manager to convert his fleet from the existing diesel and gasoline vehicles that he may have now and switch to, you know, a gaseous, you know, CNG or propane alternative vehicle has changed. You know, once upon a time, it was... they were maybe under pressure to do that so that they could portray themselves as a green company. But that's no longer the case.
That's true. That's true. Although you will find that a municipality will frequently have directives from their governing body, whether it's the city council or if it's a directive that has come from the administration of the United States that says by such and such a point you will have 50% of your fleet that is using alternative fuels, things like that. There's a good number of reasons that people do it. People, what you're talking about, we always called greenwashing, where people would say, "Look at me, I'm green. I've got a truck that, you know, is electric or whatever." But when it comes to business, it can be green, but it can also be the right business decision because it saves money.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. I mean, if you look at some of the vehicles that have been that are out there now, rumor has it that they, you know, they're a big loss for the companies. You know, they're subsidizing these vehicles, but you know, with the modern technologies that you're talking about and the fuels that you're talking about, it's not about greenwashing anymore. It just plain makes business sense to go that direction.
Absolutely, and you can accomplish both goals because if a goal of a municipality, you're mentioning Ann Arbor, If their goal is to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and, you know, we all have opinions on things on both sides of that, whether it's required or not. But if your goal is to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, the use of compressed natural gas is approximately 28% to 30% reduction in emissions just off the top right there. So you can accomplish that green goal and save money at the same time, which is, and it's not subsidized. Any of the numbers I quoted earlier on paybacks are not based on any subsidies. And businesses are smart enough to know that somebody promising a rebate of X number of dollars for your conversion to natural gas or increased expense in purchasing one is not and may not always be there. We can't, as a country, we can't afford to continue to subsidize technologies that don't make sense.
Yeah, you know, and that's a difficult area, you know, because there are, you know, there are some purists who say, you know, if it doesn't make economic sense from day one based with no incentives, then it shouldn't be done. And then there are those who say, hey, you know, let's incentivize it forever. Well, you know, my personal opinion is, look, a little help at the beginning to get things moving is fine. But that needs to be a limited amount of time, and it's got to be able to stand on its own in a relatively short amount of time. And that's what exactly has occurred here, if I'm correct.
Yes, and I think that the types of requirements that where can the government help with this? I mean, assuming you want the government to help, we have the industry. We've looked at there's a couple different ways these vehicles get produced. Some companies make them right out of the plant that are equipped as natural gas vehicles. Others, the path that I use is that we build the vehicles prepped and ready to be, and then they're upfitted to that level. What happens is we all talk together because there's a lot of associations, the ANGA, the American Natural Gas Association, things like that are trying to see how can we make this work better. And I think we've heard this before, but in some cases it's to tell the government get out of the way, because the ability to calibrate for these fuels and to get them certified by, like, EPA and CARB, the California Air Resources Board, let's, you know, help us do that instead of being an impediment. So, you know, make it simpler for us to produce low-cost and fuel-efficient and green vehicles rather than make it more difficult. So that's a good thing that they can do. The other thing that can be encouraged is if you're going to have any kind of incentives to help things, let's work on it for refueling. Let's work on it for infrastructure, for the gas stations that want to put in a natural gas pump system. It's kind of interesting. A lot of people have always had they like the appeal of the home refueling for electric vehicles to plug them in at night and not be a slave to a fueling station. There is a tremendous amount of work going on home refueling for natural gas. I mentioned early in the segments here that 60% of the country is plumbed already for natural gas in the home, and there's some systems being worked on that for a modest, I want to say currently about a $4,000 investment, you can use your home natural gas source, and it compresses it overnight and refuels your vehicle. So there's an opportunity to bring cost down and reliability for that and use the existing infrastructure. And if the government wants to target something, probably the infrastructure improvement and stuff would be a help.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it just seems like a natural, you know. When your house is already piped for electricity and piped for natural gas, many people have propane tanks at their homes too, especially in, I think, in rural areas. You know, there's another solution right there. Much gets spoken about on CNG, to compress natural gas as a fuel. Do you have any comments about propane as a fuel?
Well, actually, we see a lot in propane, there's a company, local company, everybody knows the name, Roush. And they have a division called Roush CleanTech that is pretty much exclusive in the propane world. And there's some real things that are, you know, a lot of people are, their only exposure to propane is their barbecue tank, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And there are many, many thousands of propane-powered vehicles around, millions if you count all of the industrial vehicles around the world, like Hilos, you know, the forklifts and things like that that are quite frequently powered by propane. But there's a lot of regular on-the-road vehicles that are powered by propane. You see them at the airports. One of the things that are one of the things that's good about that is that there is a pretty good infrastructure for filling propane. Believe it or not, the largest propane distributor in the world is U-Haul. And you can fill up propane vehicles at U-Haul dealers that have fueling facilities, and that's all over the country. It seems like every lumber company has propane. So there's a lot of that infrastructure around that people are not aware, and its cost is approximately 50% of fuel right now. It's about $2 a gallon. So, well, of course, gas has started to come down in anticipation of the election here, it looks like. There's not as big a differential, probably a third savings right now, but it's got a well-developed infrastructure for propane.
Oh, I didn't get a chance to do my fact-checking just before the show concerning propane, but if memory serves me correct, I believe propane is the number three fuel used in the world after gasoline and diesel. And I believe about 15 million, if I remember right, about 15 million vehicles in the world are currently powered by propane. I remember back in the days when I worked for Bosch, I went to Japan quite often. And I remember, you know, this was in the mid-90s, that many of the taxi cabs in Japan were already all running on propane way back then.
Mm. Right, and you know, there's a couple of industries. It's interesting who were early adopters to this in the U.S. We see propane in motorhomes, by the way, because all the campgrounds have them. So people with the big motorhomes that are going around, many of them have utilized that. A company that we work with, and people see them all the time, but they don't necessarily think propane. You know Schwann's, the ice cream delivery company?
Yes, absolutely.
They're not just ice cream. They're, you know, frozen foods and stuff. All of their trucks are propane and have been for over 30 years.
I was not aware of that.
Yeah. And so, I mean, there are people out there using these alternate fuels for decades, just quietly doing it. Well, now, that especially because in the U.S. here, it sure is nice to sit out an abundance of fuel that we don't have to pay people that want to kill us to get, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And so it is quite it's time. We're actually calling it the golden age of gas right now because the increased availability through unconventional methods and people talk about things like hydraulic fracturing, fracking, as people call it. And the more as you learn about that, you understand that there's it seems anytime there's a different technology, although it's been going on for decades, there's hysteria around it from environmentalists and stuff. But it appears to be a very good, solid method of extraction for natural gas. And all this availability now, hundreds of years of energy within our own borders that we do not need to be beholden to anybody is very encouraging right now.
Yeah, absolutely. How about dual fuel vehicles? In other words, fuel, you know, cars that... Oh, are we running out of time, Derek? Well, we've run out of time.
Already? With no break even between the
things. Well, that just means that it was a very engaging conversation, and we really appreciate you having on, Dick. Forward to having you on again sometime.
We'll do it again, Joe. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Well, that's a wrap today on the show. Thank you very much for listening. Next week, I'm sure you'll have back your very polished professional host, Gary Wellings, and things will return to normal. But thank you for joining.